Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
God is demonstrating His miraculous power throughout the earth. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Morris Cerullo encourage all believers to get ready for supernatural breakthrough, for healing.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank You for this broadcast today. One more opportunity to proclaim that Jesus is alive, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the healer, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, Jesus is our Melchizedek, Lord of our prosperity, and He is coming soon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are so thrilled and excited, and we want you out there to get just as thrilled and excited as we are. His healing power is right there for you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give You all the praise, all the glory to the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Join me again today in welcoming Dr. Morris Cerullo. Praise
what
God.
What a wonderful joy to be here with you.
I tell you.
I've been so blessed.
Amen. I love you, sir.
Thank you.
And I've enjoyed loving you for a long time now. Hallelujah. I remember the first time I really ever got interested in what God was really doing. Mm-hmm. I was raised in a Christian home. I mean, in the strong Christian home. It wasn't my mama's fault I turned out like I did. You know, I tried my best to go to hell. She just wouldn't let me go.
Praise God.
And she was a real prayer warrior. But when I did obey God and I went to Oral Roberts University, and the first day there, by miraculous arrangement of the Lord, Brother Dr. Roberts hired me as co-pilot on the airplane. And which put me in the meetings because, he couldn't go to a meeting without me. And then right away, second or third meeting, they signed me to drive his car. So that's when he and I began to be close friends. But during that time, I began to realize that this guy named Cerullo had been out there the same length of time that Oral Roberts had. Mm. And there were signs and wonders and miracles in his ministry. Mm. And I just kept hearing about you. And of course, being around Oral and Bob DeWeese and all these guys,
it
every so often your name would come up and they'd talk about the meetings, you know, that you had and got me really interested. And then when I had the opportunity, you Carl said, I want to see you. Mm-hmm. I want you to come see me.
Yes.
I said, Gloria, what do you think he wants with me? She said, I don't know. Let's go find out. So we did. We came to San Diego and met you and fell in love with you, and Teresa. And we have just been so blessed with your life and your ministry, and particularly when your book came out and all of those different things over the years. Being associated with you has inspired me and brought me to higher places in the Lord. I just wanted to know that,
and
I wanted everybody to know it. Praise God. Now, just in 2016, let me show you a picture again. That was on Dr. Cerullo's leg. That's his leg right there. That angry, incurable thing had brought him to the point of death several times. And it was just the mercy of God that he didn't die. But then there's Jesus.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. And healed him and just put new skin And there's now not even any. I want you to see this. Look at this now. Look at him. You see those Nike running shoes he's got on? Glory. Play that again. Back that thing up and play it again. I want to see it again. Now, this was just a few days.
Yeah.
After you'd been in that other condition.
That's right. And remember, I was paralyzed.
Completely paralyzed.
In one leg.
In that leg.
In the right leg.
Yeah.
Completely paralyzed. I was in a wheelchair. I laid in a bed for months.
And look at you. Glory to God. Now then, I want us to look at 1 Peter 2:24.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Who his own self, talking about Jesus,
yes,
bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Were, yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you something. Is were future tense? No. Is it present tense? No. It's past tense.
Yes.
You were healed. When God raised Jesus from the dead, that healing became available to whosoever will.
Amen.
Because Jesus is available to whosoever believeth on him. Amen. Should not perish but have everlasting life.
And you know, even stronger than, or as strong as that, what was the purpose why God the Father sent his Son? Remember, Jesus was born of God.
Amen.
Now, why did he send him? He sent him here as you so capably preach the word. He sent him here to pay the price.
Amen.
For sin, for salvation, for healing. That's why we can 100% claim it, because
yes,
he, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest,
right,
that he might destroy. He didn't come here to wound him. He came here to destroy him. So Jesus destroyed the works of the devil.
Yeah,
and those works are sin.
Yeah. Acts 10:38.
Yeah, right.
Now, Peter is at Cornelius's house, the Italian soldier, and Peter began to preach. In verse 36, he said, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Now, this is what Jesus preached the whole time he was on the earth. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me."
Amen.
"For he has anointed me to preach. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captive, to preach recovery of sight to the blind,
hallelujah,
to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," which was supernatural debt cancellation.
Yes.
He not only wants you saved and healed, he don't even want you in debt. Glory to
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Now, Jesus is preaching, I mean, Peter's preaching this. "That word you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power," that's healing power, "who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And every one of them was oppressed of the devil. They weren't oppressed of God. No. They were oppressed of the devil. And he healed them.
Everyone.
Yeah. Except those that wouldn't believe. Wow, Brother Copeland, Jesus healed all. No. Yeah. No, he didn't. Just hang on. Don't get mad at me. Just hang on. You go back over to the 6th chapter of the book of Mark, talking about at his own hometown, right there, and when he went to preach at home in Nazareth, they said, what? This is, this is that carpenter boy down there. We've known him. Why, we know his whole family. Who's he think he is? Preaching all this grace and all this stuff. And he could there do no mighty work. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. Except he laid his hands on a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Now get this, this is big.
Yes.
He went round about the villages teaching. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. The cure for unbelief is teaching. If you're listening right now and you've been having trouble believing this, just listen, because faith is coming. Faith is coming. No such thing as faith that won't come.
No.
But if you'll open your heart and say, Lord, I receive mine right now, it's there for you.
Yes.
It's absolutely there for you. And it's there for you right now. Isn't that wonderful news? That's the reason it's called gospel. And you can be like Dr. Cirillo, and you can jump up and run around the room and get you some new running shoes. Praise God. I remember I'm talking about just a matter of hours after the Lord healed him and raised him up. He still looked kind of puny. It's before the miracle was ongoing and just changed his entire countenance and everything. He didn't wait until he felt all that much better and all that. He just went and fired that airplane up and headed to Brazil, brother. Immediately he went right back out on the road again. And all 85-year-old years of him went right out back in the field again. And he texted me this little video. And I got so excited. He's standing there in his jogging suit. And talking about how God had healed him. And I hollered at Glory. I said, look at this, MC's hitting the road again. We got so tickled and got so thrilled, man.
Amen.
That's what's happening right there, and you can have your part of it too.
Amen.
This is something, isn't it?
Yes. It's real. It's real. It's not a figment of our imagination.
No, it isn't.
It's not psychological. It's not mind over matter. It's the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead.
Yes, it is.
It dwells in us. And as it does, it quickens our mortal bodies by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, I love those incredible words in Corinthians. Know ye not? And this is the problem. Most of the people lack the knowledge. And it's like you said, you have to take the word, you have to stand on the word, you have to confess the word. But don't we know that our bodies are temples?
That's right.
Of the Holy Spirit.
The living God.
It's real.
It's real. It is so real. The great, great preacher, Smith Wigglesworth. Oh my, such a man of power.
Yeah.
And he would get up every morning. First thing, he'd take communion. And he'd go look in the mirror. He said, that man right there is full of the living God. Isn't that marvelous? He'd look himself in the eyes and speak the word of God over himself.
And that's what God's people need to do. They need to confess what God says they are instead of what they think they are.
What they feel like they are, what they look like they are, what somebody else told them they were. It's what the Word says about it.
Absolutely.
The Word says we're victorious.
Amen.
That we're champions. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's something else that Smith Wigglesworth did that will change the life of any born-again believer. You remember in his story, he's born in Yorkshire, England.
England.
And back there then, there were no child labor laws and so forth. And he went to work when he was 6 years old. And he worked in the plumbing trade. But the man got born again, and it got so on his heart. It was so wonderful that he determined he's going to win somebody to the Lord every day. He's going to witness to somebody, some way or other. And that really was what he felt like was his calling, and that's what he set out to do. And he did it. He had witnessed to somebody. They told one story about him that he just hadn't found anybody all day to talk to. And there was a guy driving by in a cart, wagon. He ran up and jumped on the seat beside him and witnessed to him, got him born again before sundown. He got his man. But now, see, he had that in him. Every believer ought to have that.
You know, Kenneth, when I came out of the Jewish Orthodox orphanage, I was 15 years of age. And the woman that brought me the message in the orphanage that we talked about, I went to live with her in her brother's home. Now, that was in East Patterson, and Patterson was where the church was, where, I mean, I never missed a service, 15 years of age. I was in every, I couldn't get enough of God.
Right, God.
So I would hitchhike. I wouldn't let anybody drive me home. I would hitchhike 15, 16 years of age so I could get in the car and lead somebody to Jesus. I led a Roman Catholic priest one night to Jesus.
Praise God, hallelujah.
It's exactly what you're talking about.
That's the same thing. Look, and there's a confidence that comes from that.
Yes.
Most of the people in the sound of our voice right now, if they stop to think about that, there's almost instantly a fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. People are afraid they're going to be turned down.
Yeah.
One time I was turned down, but let me tell you how that took place. I was holding a meeting in a casino in Las Vegas, and the owner of the hotel had gotten born again, and it was Wayne Cochran, the old rock and roll singer that had gotten saved, who was a friend of mine, and he played in that hotel for a long time. Well, he went back and got the owner of the hotel born again. Well, he came to Wayne. He said, I got to do something for God, Wayne. He said, my heart's on fire. He said, do you think Brother Copeland would come here and hold a meeting? So Wayne called me. I said, are you kidding? I'm on my way. So we just had a fabulous meeting in the theater in that casino. Well, one night I'm walking through, headed to the meeting room, and I heard the Lord say, witness to that cup of walking towards you. And he told me what to say to him. I said, okay. So I said, excuse me, sir. We're very well-dressed people. I said, I feel like that I have something that the Lord, he would have me to say to you, if that's all right. May I have permission to speak? He said, sure. So I told him. He said, he didn't refuse me. He just said, okay, thank you, and just walked off. And I thought, well, that's kind of different. And so, but before I could get away, here was a guy standing there,
leaning up against the wall. He was so drunk. He said, hey, I heard what you said. Will you pray for me?
I said, yeah, I'll pray. MC, he was so drunk. He just, if he'd let go of the wall, he'd have just fallen on the floor. He said, let's go in here. So we went in the men's room. He said, pray for me. So I laid my hands on him and began to pray. Man, the power of God came in there, and all of a sudden he straightened up, and by the time I got through praying, he was stone cold sober. And lifted both hands Hallelujah. And began to worship God.
Hallelujah.
My God, man, he said, thank you. I'm a backslid Pentecostal preacher.
Wow.
God, the glory of God's kind of all over me right now.
Yeah.
Amen. So, see, I wasn't actually turned down. I was accepted. I just was talking to him through these other people.
But God was in control. That's the thing.
Oh, that's the key to the whole business. Yeah. If you listen and speak to whomever he says speak to, I'm telling you, miracles happen.
Amen.
The street miracles are easier to get than the church miracles. I've noticed that over the years. I know you have too.
Yes.
Amen.
There's a day that we're living in. I call it breakthrough. God wants to give his people a supernatural breakthrough. It's when we experience a breakthrough that we pass and cross over the line from the natural into the supernatural.
Oh, yes, amen.
The word breakthrough, and you know, I've learned when I was a little boy, when God was my teacher, and he taught me, he said, son, all truth is parallel. Watch what happens in the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
I saw technology, I saw everything in the natural world advance like it never did before. But you know what happened? It's like Edison. Edison invented light, okay? But he failed for 20 or 30 years of his life until one day he got a breakthrough, advanced knowledge. Advanced information. He broke through. It came to him. And when it did, he got the secrets to what he needed to produce light. Well, I believe that the church is in the season of breakthrough.
I do too. I know it with every fiber of my being.
We're getting advanced knowledge. We're crossing over. We're getting information, spirit information we never experienced before. and that is giving us the ability to break through the line of resistance.
Amen.
The line of resistance that holds us back is Satan, his principalities, his powers, his spiritual wickednesses, but no more.
No.
Because we're getting the information that we need.
Let's take it up tomorrow, right here.
Okay.
I want you. God's been dealing with you supernaturally over this, and as a prophet of God, He's shown it to you.
Yes.
In the Spirit. And so let's start with this.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Dr. Shrula and I'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.